Virus free, I trust. Let me have one of those. We went out to the National Cemetery on Friday, and we had to be there at 12:15, and we were on time. We showed up right at 12:15, and so they said that we were only allowed to have a half a dozen or so people in the area where they were going to have the casket, and everybody else was to wait across the road. And so we did so, and I gave a graveside message, and the Lord kind of brought my attention to Job. You know, Job is the oldest book in the Bible, and Job said, "I know my Redeemer liveth." Amen? Amen. He was a man that knew that he had a Savior, and he made the statement. He said, "Even though the worms destroy my body, I know that in my flesh I will see God." And a lot of doctrine in that little verse there, and talked about that a little bit, and just pray that some folks heard the gospel and responded to it. Folks, the Lord wants to save people.
Amen.
And the lie that a lot of people have been taught is that they can't be saved unless they reform themselves. No, He wants to do the work in our life. Amen. Yeah. Open your Bibles to 1 Kings. Just remind you that what we have been doing for the last couple of weeks, and we're going to be doing it for a couple more, I realize this may not be the most exciting study because it tends to get repetitive here. You see the same thing again and again, but trust the Lord to show us some morsels today that will be an encouragement to us. But just to go back and reintroduce the class, what we're trying to do is we're trying to understand what the Bible teaches us about the Holy Spirit. That's the goal. And we understand that the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the premier verse, 1 John 5:7-8, says these three are one. And in Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let us," plural, "make man in our own image." And before there was man, He wasn't talking about the angels creating anybody. He was talking about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so what we did in the first class is just introduce that idea that there is a Holy Ghost or a Holy Spirit. And in the New Testament, we're going to talk about that a whole lot. But we wanted to start back in Genesis, or moving through the Old Testament, looking to see what's taught about the Holy Ghost. And just pray that God will give us wisdom as we do this. I really have a goal of finishing this handout today. And so let's look for some morsels here that we can use. And I'm going to start by, once again, all the verses are on the handout, but I kind of like to read along in my Bible. So 1 Kings chapter 18, and we've already gone up to the point of 1 Kings and 1 Chronicles, to 1 Kings, and so we're going to look at 1 and 2 Kings, actually going to finish the Old Testament, not the Old Testament, finish up to the prophets this morning. So seven verses mention the Spirit of God in 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles. You may remember that these two pairs of books, the 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, are two different accounts of the same period of time. And so it's interesting. 1 and 2 Kings tells the story, and then 1 and 2 Chronicles tells the story again, and there's overlap. And they leave things out of one and put it in the other, and sometimes it's in both of them. And I've heard one person say that 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, one of them is God's perspective and one is man's perspective. I'm not sure where they got that. But I do know this. Had anybody here ever taken a class on the kings of Israel? Nobody ever took one? Everybody taught one? I've done both. And it's interesting what the Bible does. You remember now, Israel was divided into two kingdoms. David reigned, and then Solomon reigned, and then after Solomon, Israel was divided into two kingdoms. And Judah and Benjamin, the southern two tribes, became a kingdom all to themselves, and they had their own king. And then the northern ten tribes, the other ten children of Israel, the other ten tribes, they had their own king, and they had independent histories. And in 722 B.C., the northern kingdom was captured by the Assyrians, taken into captivity, and that was the end of them. not historically there. We'll see some of them in the tribulation and so on, but they became, some people call them the lost tribes, because they were assimilated into the Assyrian culture. The Assyrians, you remember, Nineveh, Jonah, that's Assyria. And then the southern two tribes did not get taken captive until 586, which was over 100 years later. And those southern two tribes are the ones that we find restored. We see the history of their restoration in the last couple of books of the Old Testament. And so in 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, what we're seeing is the history of both of them, and it's kind of like leapfrogs. We'll talk about Israel a little bit, and then we call the southern kingdom Judah. Talk about Judah a little bit, then Israel, then Judah, then Israel, then Judah. And that's just the way the Bible does it, and it's a good way to look at it because it keeps flowing along chronologically. So a little background on the two books, but in those books, seven verses mention the Spirit of God in those four books, and I've got them listed in this box right here. And the very first time the Spirit is mentioned in these is in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 12. The Bible says, "It shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth." Now, I got to give you some background on this. There was a famine. The famine was caused by a drought, and the drought was caused by the sins of the king and the sins of the people. And you've heard of Jezebel. She's involved in this. We had a lady in our church in Maryland named Jezebel who got saved. Never had even met anybody named Jezebel other than that, and that was kind of fun. But anyway, they have sinned against God, and there's a famine, and the prophet here is Elijah. The prophet Elijah has been inaccessible to the king, and the king had enough sense to know that he needed to go to the prophet to solve the problem. Now, that's kind of an interesting thought today. In our nation, we have a problem, don't we? Amen. And where are they going to solve the problem? They're not going to God, are we? I am. But as a nation, you hear all sorts of actions and precautions and plans and that sort of thing. The king of Israel, as wicked as he was, he had enough sense to know, I need to find the man of God. He's the answer to this problem. And so he had been sending people out looking for him. And lo and behold, in 1 Kings chapter 18, this man finds him. Looking for his name here. In Obadiah, in verse 7. Obadiah, he says, Elijah met him in verse 7. And he knew him and fell on his face and said, "Art thou that my Lord Elijah?" And he answered him, "I am." Verse 8, "Go tell thy Lord," he says, "behold, Elijah is here." And he says, Obadiah says in verse 9, "What have I sinned that thou wouldst deliver that servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there's no nation or kingdom whether my Lord hath not sent to seek thee." He's been trying to find you, and we've been looking hard. And when they said he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, "Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here." And he says, "And it shall come to pass," it's going to happen, as soon as I'm gone from thee, the Spirit of the Lord is going to carry thee somewhere else where I don't know. And he says, "And when I come and tell Ahab and he can't find thee, he's going to slay me." And he said, "But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth." So the teaching here simply is that this man, Obadiah, understood that the prophet Elijah was directed by the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
And by the way, you and I should be as well, shouldn't we?
Amen?
Amen? Nope, not going to go down that rabbit trail right now. Let's keep on going. Okay, go to chapter 22. Chapter 22. Chapter 22. This is sad. There's a prophet named Micaiah, and he is in the midst of a group of people that do not like him. They do not like what he says. They do not particularly like the Lord. And so they are mocking him. And in verse 24, Zedekiah, the son of Kenaniah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, "Which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee?" And he's just mocking him and taking advantage of his power over him and being a bully. And Micaiah said, "Behold, thou shalt see in that day, when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself." And the king of Israel said, "Take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, 'Thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace.'" And Micaiah said, "If thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me." He's about to go to battle. See, he's about to go out and fight. And he says, "Oh, I'm going to come back. And until I come back, you keep him in prison and make him miserable." And he says, "Hearken, O people, every one of you." Verse 29. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went unto Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "I will disguise myself." And I'm trying to kind of save some time here. Verse 34. A certain man drew a bow at a venture. And here's what he did. He said, "I'm just going to shoot the arrow up in the air and see if it hits anything." And guess what it hit? Yeah, the king. He smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, "Turn thy hand, carry me out of the host, for I am wounded." And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians and died at even, just like the prophet said. Amen. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. There went a proclamation throughout the host about the going down of the sun, saying, "Every man to his city, every man to his own country." So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria, and they washed the pool in the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, which was part of the prophecy, I believe. And then it talks about the rest of the acts. And you know what? They didn't like what God had to say, but when God says it, that settles it. It came to pass. And so this man was just mocking, using the Spirit of God in a mocking form. There's not really a lot about the Spirit there, except once again, they understood that the Spirit did certain things. Now, 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2, just a couple of pages over. So Elijah had a servant named Elisha. And there's an interesting transition that takes place where Elijah, he is taken up in a chariot to heaven. He's one of those men. We know of somebody else that never, that didn't face a physical death in the sense that we think of it. And who else did not face the physical death in the way we think of it? Enoch. Enoch was translated, the Bible says. He just, all of a sudden, he was with God. And some people believe that maybe Enoch and Elijah might be the two prophets that come during the tribulation. Don't know. But we do know that Elijah is taken up and Elisha takes his place. And let's see. All right, so we're going to look at 2 Kings chapter 2, and I'm trying to get the story going here. Here we go. Verse 11, 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11. "It came to pass, as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder," that's Elijah and Elisha, "and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, 'My father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof.' And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell," dropped down under the ground from Elijah. "And he went back and he stood by the bank of Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah and he smote the waters, and the waters parted and they went across." And so now they're going to be looking for this man. The question is, where is he gone? And Elisha saw it happen, but in verse 16, Let's read verse 15. The sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him. They saw Elisha. And they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, ye shall not send. And they urged him till he was ashamed, and he said, send. And guess what? They didn't find anybody. And again, just a comment, not any tremendous teaching about the Spirit, but once again, this knowledge that people had in the Old Testament, that the Spirit of God directed and did miracles and was is working, and no question about the fact that they knew that there was a Spirit of God. Those three verses are the only three mentions of the Spirit of God in 1st and 2nd Kings. Now, let's go to 2nd Chronicles. 2nd Chronicles. Nothing in 1st Chronicles. 2nd Chronicles, chapter 15. Two verses here, but the same story. So just a mention that we've seen this before in other places, that the Spirit of God is going to come upon somebody. And the Spirit of God in chapter 15 of 2 Chronicles in verse 1, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa, he's the king, and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. Now remember I told you the two southern tribes are Judah and Benjamin? So this is the southern kingdom here. The Lord is with you while ye be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Well, that's a good verse, isn't it? And so what's happening here is that the prophet is telling the king what the Spirit wants said. The Spirit wants to be said. He's giving these words that the Spirit is telling him. Now, for a long season, verse 3, Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without the law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. The nation was destroyed of nation, city of city. God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. I wish I was preaching that this morning. Amen. What a great passage. And it seems, again, you almost think about our nation and the situation we're in. Would that America would turn back to God. Amen. Do you understand that in World War II, on D-Day, that we literally, as a nation, now this is less than 100 years ago. This is back in 44, in June of 1944, that when D-Day occurred and the invasion forces left England and went across the English Channel and landed in France and began to attack the Germans on the European mainland, that our president and our nation literally shut down and prayed for the success of the invasion forces. Mm-hmm. On that day, businesses were closed not to protect them from some virus, but so they could call on God. Wow, wouldn't it have been great a couple of weeks ago, if the president had said, close all the businesses so we can pray? That'd be great. I think the outcome would have been different, don't you? Folks, we need God. Our nation needs God.
Amen.
And how true is this verse? If you look at this, he says in verse 2, he says, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. If ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. God's not going to force himself upon us. We beg him to help, but so many in our nation have forgotten about him. And I've got to believe, there's no question about it, things would be different if our nation was a godly nation.
Yes, they would.
No doubt about it.
Amen.
And, you know, we hesitate to say this is a plague or a curse that came from God. But whether it was punishment or whether it's just situation, the fact of the matter is we're suffering because we're not turning to God.
Amen.
And at least we can. We can turn to Him. Amen. We can pray. We can ask Him to help. So just to mention that the Spirit of God came upon Azariah there in chapter 15 and verse 1, and therefore He spoke. And that's what you see in these two verses. Now, go to chapter 18, 2 Chronicles chapter 18. I am not going to finish this handout today, but that's okay. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Don't you love the Old Testament stories? The stories of the prophets and just so many good things here. And they're true stories, amen?
Amen.
Okay, chapter 18, we're going to see the Spirit in verse 23. And oh, this is so sad. Judah, the southern kingdom, had a good king from time to time. Israel never really did. And wouldn't you hate to have God fighting against you? There's this king, his name's Jehoshaphat. Or I'm sorry, this king speaking to Jehoshaphat in verse 17. And what's happening is, and I'm trying to get the context set up here. Here's Micaiah again, the same old fellow that we talked about a few minutes ago that got slapped him in the face because they didn't like what he said. And so the king of Israel and the king of Judah got together to go to battle. And the king of Judah says, hey, you know what, maybe we should get the prophets together and see what they think about us going to battle. And so look at verse 11. You there? Chapter 18, verse 11. Are we all there? So all the prophets did prophesy, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the messenger that went to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king with one assent. Let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. Now, you got to understand what's happening here. They've sent for all these prophets, but these prophets are not right. They are not. There's a lying spirit in them, and they're going to give the king false information. And the king of Judah has said, hey, isn't there anybody else we can ask? And so they go to find Micaiah, and let me see, I'm trying to find something here for you. Oh, here we go. Okay, are you still in verse 8 or chapter 18? Look up at verse 7 and you can see what's happening here. So the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, he's the king of Judah, he says, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord. Now listen to this. But I hate him. For he never prophesied good unto me. Now, think about what he's saying. There's a prophet of the Lord, but since he doesn't say good things about me, I don't like him. You know, the problem was not with the prophet. The problem was with the king.
Amen.
And the problem was the prophet would not humor the king. The prophet was telling the king the truth, and the king didn't want to hear the truth. He didn't like that. And so that's the Micaiah that we're about to hear from. He says, he's the son of Imlah, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, says, no, let not the king say so. So they call them all together, and all the other prophets have given them good news. And now, in verse 13, Micaiah said, now look at this, as the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak. And when he was come to the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? Now look at this. And he said, go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. Now be careful. Let's keep reading. The king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? And so in other words, Micaiah has said, this is what you want to hear, so I'll tell it to you. And the king says to him, don't tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what God said. Amen? A smart king, bad outcome. Verse 16, then he said, I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, "These have no master, let them return. Therefore, every man to his house in peace." And, so the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Didn't I tell you that he would not prophesy good unto me, but evil?" So I told you he was going to give me bad news. And then Micaiah says again, he said, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, 'Who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead?' And one spake, saying after this manner, another after that manner. Then there came out a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, 'I will entice him.' And the Lord said unto him, 'Wherewith?' And he said, 'I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets.' And the Lord said, 'Thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil against thee.' Then Zedekiah, the son of Kenana," we've talked about him before, "came near and smote Micaiah upon the cheek and said, 'Which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee?'" Now you get the whole story. Amen. And guess what? Once again, the prophet was right. When the spirit of the Lord told him the truth, he told the king the truth, and the king died. And so just kind of a rehash of that story we heard before. And so that's the 2 Chronicles 18:23. Let's get two more here real quick in 5 minutes and we'll be done. Go to chapter 20. Chapter 20, you're right there already probably. And I'm going to kind of paraphrase these just so we can finish up on time. In chapter 20 in verse 14, I can't set the story up for the sake of time, but there is a man named Jehaziel. He's the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite. That means he's a priest of the sons of Asaph. And so again, it's introducing us to who he is. It says, "Upon him came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, 'Hearken, ye all Israel, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's.'" And I'd like to go ahead and tell the whole story, but just let you know what's going to happen. This time, they're going to win. And they're going to win because God's going to give them the victory. And it's just the Spirit coming upon someone. We see that over and over in the Old Testament. The Spirit comes upon somebody, and they speak on God's behalf, and they prophesy. One more, and we're done. Chapter 24, 2 Chronicles chapter 24, just a couple of pages over. And here again, same thing. Spirit of God coming upon somebody. Chapter 24 and verse 20. "The Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, 'Thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you.'" That's familiar, isn't it? Amen. Heard that just a little while ago. "And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king, in the court of the house of the Lord. And thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done, but slew his son." And that's a kind of a poignant place to stop. The king, when he heard the prophet say what God told him to say, rejected the message and had him stoned to death. And just want you to know that that fellow's with the Lord right now. Amen?
Amen.
And that king suffered accordingly. Now we're going to go ahead and do page 4 next week, and that'll be the Ezra and Job and Proverbs, Psalms.